Good morning, everyone. Today we'll be back in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's kind of funny. I woke up this morning and I saw what the weather was this morning, and the first thing that popped in my head was, I bet Pastor's wishing it was a few degrees cooler. Because it feels like we're just not that far away from snow right now, but it's close. But doesn't look like we're going to get any today, though. But we're going to continue today looking at Hannah. And last week, as we started our passage here in 1 Samuel, we saw some of the struggles that Hannah was going through. She was facing discouragement because she wasn't able to have a child, and it was getting even worse in her eyes because Peninnah, her husband's other wife, which we looked at last week, was not God's plan. But we saw the discouragement that was coming from her as well because she was mocking her. But we saw in all that Hannah trusted the Lord in that time. That she realized that the situation she was in, God had put her there. And that's something we need to remember too. When we're in, those difficult situations, remember God's allowed us to get to this point for whatever reason. And he's going to work in that. And she realized that and knew that she needed to lean on him and trust in him. And she reached out to him in prayer. And we looked at how we need to have courage in our prayers as well. And what does that mean? That means when we pray, we need to have the courage to accept God's answer and to do his will when we see that answer. And she was willing to do that. And we're going to look this morning at the next step there, as she actually prayed. And she reached out to the Lord. And we're going to see the promise that she made to the Lord. So we're going to start by reading just 1 Samuel chapter 1 and just verse 11. It says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, we thank you for your word. And as we look at it this morning, I pray that you would help us to understand you better, Lord, how you want us to live. And Lord, just how we can know you better. Lord, please bless this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see here the prayer that says she's making a vow to the Lord. She's making a promise. And in it, she recognizes who she is and who God is. She calls him the Lord of hosts. And she refers to herself as her handmaid. And we come to the Lord, we need to come to him in humility like that. And she asked, the first thing she asked there is to remember me. Remember her in the affliction that she's going through there. But then she asked specifically for a child, and a male child. And in that, she promises that when the Lord gives her that child, that she is going to give him to the Lord completely. So she made a promise that if God gave her a son, she would dedicate her son completely to the Lord. This showed a total surrender to the Lord. And her prayer wasn't answered because she made this promise. It was answered because God was working in her life. God was using her there. And when you remember, when we surrender completely to the Lord, then that's when he can work in our lives as well. We need to make sure that when we come to him in prayer, in offering anything to him, that we're completely surrendered to him. There was a quote by Warren Wiersbe that says, "Hannah did not bargain with the Lord. Rather, she proved her spirituality by willingly offering God her best, her firstborn son." And that's what we need to do, is be willing to offer God the best that we have. And You know, when we look at the promise here, she's, you know, says that, says, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So this is showing a total commitment. She is giving her son to the Lord's service. The son she doesn't even have yet, but she's promising this to the Lord. And there she's praying in humility and just total surrender to the Lord. And so that's the way we need to approach the Lord in prayer, is in total surrender. And we see this promise that she makes shows the degree of her surrender there. And, you know, where she's arrived in her relationship with the Lord. Think about what she's been through. You know, all the discouragement, the struggles that she's been through. You know, the Lord had brought her to a point where she had to make a decision. Was she going to just give up and just turn her back on the Lord? Or was she going to turn completely to the Lord? Because, you know, we get to those points like Hannah was at, you know, it's usually not just staying where we are. We either get discouraged and turn away, or we just give everything over to the Lord and just have to trust him. And that's what she was doing there. She was making this promise and demonstrating the depth of her faith and trust in what the Lord could do. So, you know, we need to remember that we need to offer God the best that we have, even in those times of discouragement. You know, sometimes that's a very hard thing to do, especially if our focus isn't exactly where it needs to be. Our focus needs to be on the Lord and on eternity, but so many times our focus is on the things of this earth, and surrendering everything to the Lord means just giving him total control. And, you know, if our focus is here on earthly things, we're not going to want to give up that control. But she was beyond that. An example, someone has told about Hudson Taylor. He was a very well-known missionary to China, and the Lord used him greatly in that ministry. But when he was younger, when he was just beginning his mission, or to start on his missionary work, there was a godly Christian woman that he knew in England that he wanted to marry. And the girl's father appreciated that that Taylor wanted to serve God, and he gave his consent for their marriage. But he had a but in that. He says, as long as they would stay in England, he was willing to let his daughter marry Hudson Taylor as long as they didn't leave England. You know, what would you do in that situation? So, but Hudson Taylor, he was not willing, or he ended up breaking up the engagement and going to China, where God used him mightily. There, you know, Hannah made a promise that showed her total commitment to the Lord. And like I said, she was at that point where she could make a decision to turn her back on the Lord or to totally follow the Lord. The example of the opposite of that, you know, I think about Job's wife, where things got so bad, and what did she say? She said, curse God and die. That was her response. Hannah's response was the total opposite. It was to turn to the Lord there. So she was willing to give everything to her son. And do you ever wonder, when we pray and we ask for something from the Lord, are we willing to give that totally over to him? You know, just a crazy example. If you prayed for $1 million, and would you be willing to give that completely back to the Lord if he gave that to you? You know, God would not give that to you, of course, if you weren't going to use that. But just think about, you know, when God gives you something good, do we want to keep it for ourselves? Are we willing to give it back over to the Lord? And the amazing thing is God knows what we need, not necessarily what we want. So here, Hannah has made this promise to the Lord and has done the right thing. She has totally surrendered to the Lord and given, you know, offering her best to the Lord, the best offering that she can give, and that's the son that she's asking for. So we see that's not the end of our story today. That continues on in verses 19 and 20. They're still in 1 Samuel chapter 1. It says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah." Right there we see some of God's mercy in that verse, where God has shortened the name of the place where they were from to Ramah. And I don't have to pronounce the whole name there, but thank the Lord for that. So, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." There's one little phrase in that verse that is just so encouraging, so refreshing. And that is, "And the Lord remembered her." It's wonderful to know that our Lord never forgets. He always remembers. And if you go back and look at the verse where she prayed, that was the first thing she asked for. It says, "Look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me." She even asked for that before she asked for the child there. And, you know, the Lord did remember her. The Lord never forgets. Think about your memories and things that you remember. Are there things that you think in your past and you think, "Oh, I wish I could go back to that"? Or just have fond memories of that. Think back to something. Well, the truth is, what you're remembering probably is better than it really was. You know, a lot of times our memories play tricks on us. I read something where, you know, you hear about events where you remember where you were when this happened. Things like the older generation when President Kennedy was shot. For my generation, it would be more 9/11. You remember where you were. They did studies on that. And they realized that over half the time, people were wrong at what they remembered. That they weren't really where they were, because our minds kind of fill in areas sometimes and make things look better than they were. But God remembers things exactly the way they are. There is no error in his memory. And the Lord knew everything that Hannah was going through, and he never forgot that. He remembered that. And he knew exactly what she needed, because he knew what she had gone through. He knew that, you know, all the struggles that she'd had, and he heard her prayer, and he knew exactly what she needed. You know, sometimes when we pray, God may not always give us exactly what we want, but he knows exactly what we need. And that's where we go back to the courage in prayer, is being able to accept God's answer of what we need more than what we want. But here, God was honoring Hannah, because what she was asking for was what she needed, and how God wanted to use her as well. So he's never going to forget his children. He is always going to remember us. And God remembered Hannah, and gave her that son that she had been asking for. So can you imagine, after all that she's been through, all the struggles, and staying consistent in the Lord, going year after year to honor the Lord and praying there and asking God for this son. And now he's answered this prayer. And just think about the joy she would have at that point. And, how many times when God answers our prayer, does our mindset change? When we need something, a lot of times we reach out to the Lord, but then when we have it, then maybe we start to hold on to things more. But that's not what Hannah did. We see that she followed through on her promise. And we're still in 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you'll go down to verse 24, it says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. So there we see in the first verses that as soon as she had weaned him, she took him with her, with an offering, to the priest there in Shiloh. You know, you think about if we make a promise to the Lord and that time comes, what if we had been in Hannah's position? Well, maybe I need to help him grow up a little bit more. Maybe he needs to be a little bit older before he leaves me. You know, sometimes we tend to make excuses to put off the will of the Lord, what he wants. But she didn't do that. It said as soon as he was weaned, she took him there and gave him to the Lord. She didn't delay. She obeyed her promise, what she promised the Lord, as soon as she was able to do it. There, and she took him up to Shiloh, brought him to the priest Eli, and she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." I imagine Eli had seen a lot of women praying there in the tabernacle over that past year. And but we didn't read the passage about when he saw her before, but we know in the passage that she was so intense in her prayer and praying to the Lord that he thought she was actually drunk, that she had was consumed with alcohol, and actually started correcting her, and she let him know that no, she was weeping sore because she wanted this child. She wanted this child for the Lord. And I'm sure he would have remembered that at that point. But there she brings him back, and you know, you wonder what Eli thought during this process. You know, I doubt this was something that happened to him every day, or else you know the area there would be full of these young men. But this was something that was should have been an encouragement to him as well, because he would have seen how the Lord worked throughout this whole situation. So there she told him that this is the child that I prayed for, and the Lord gave him to me, and now I am turning him over to the Lord. So, and it says, for as long as he lived. So in surrendering her son back to the Lord, you know, Hannah would have found great fulfillment in that, and giving her son freely to the Lord. You know, a lot of times, you know, we don't think about that. We think, you know, how things would make us happier. But when we give to the Lord, whether it's a child, whether it's finances, whatever it is, when we give to the Lord, there should be no regrets, because we're giving what he's given us back to him. And that's what he wants from us, is for us to give him our best. And think about the path that Hannah is setting Samuel on there, to turn him over to the Lord so young for complete service. And just, you know, think about, you know, as especially you young couples, young families, giving your children to the Lord, what a great impact that's going to have in their lives. You know, if we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, just think about the potential that we're giving them to serve the Lord. So there, we need to give our children to the Lord and pray that they're going to serve him. And in that, there's going to be joy in that. Even when things are hard, when things seem difficult, there's going to be joy in the fact that our children are serving the Lord. 3 John verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, in 3 John, John's writing about those that he's discipled or mentored that have grown under his ministry. But the analogy there goes back to a parent and the joy they have in their child walking in the truth. And so that works in that as well, that there is no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So that, you think about how Hannah has responded so far. She was discouraged. She trusted the Lord. She prayed and did not withhold her promise from the Lord. She followed through on what she had promised the Lord there. So she's had the courage to get through her discouragement. She's had the courage to pray for God's will and has followed through on God's answer to her prayer and gave her son to the Lord. So, and we see here there, it still doesn't end there, because next we see her honoring the Lord in what has happened here. You know, a lot of times we seek God to meet our needs, but we don't always give him the thanks that he deserves. So it was wonderful to have the service on Tuesday night where we had the opportunity to praise the Lord. And that's not the only opportunity we have to praise the Lord. We should be doing that every day, every opportunity we have, praising the Lord for what he's done. And we should never forget that, what he's done for us. But we see a prayer that she offers here in, as we look over to 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're just going to read a little bit of that prayer. But we see here, she doesn't start out in this prayer talking about thanking God that she's giving him a son. She's not focusing on herself. Instead, she's praising the Lord for who he is and what he's done. So let's start reading there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." There. So, you know, it's worth noting here that Hannah praises God for delivering her, first of all, from the persecution that she was facing there from Penina, that she directly mentions or makes reference to God 8 times in these 3 verses. So there is no doubt where Hannah is, know that where Hannah sees this answer to her prayer coming from. She is giving God complete glory for all that's happened there. And that should be our response as well, giving God the glory in those answered prayers, in how he's worked in our life. In Psalm 25, 20 and 21, it says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." So here Hannah trusted God, and she waited on him in faith to come through. So one thing that I want to read, another passage in the book of Luke, it's another prayer from another mother there that is kind of in the same vein here that Hannah prayed. We see Mary's prayer in Luke chapter 1. Let me just read that. It says, first of all, this is right after she's visited Elizabeth and been encouraged as she's at that time pregnant with the Lord. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Again, we see a prayer from Mary here, how humble she is there. She, again, she calls herself a handmaiden of the Lord, just like Hannah did in her prayer. She came to him in humility and honored God for who he was there. And that's one thing we need to remember is, God, when God answers our prayers, he does that. He has the power to answer our prayers. But the answer really comes in who he is. And that is, he is good, he is righteous, and he is just. And our answers are going to be based on his goodness and his justness. There, our praise, it often focuses more on what God has done for us rather than who he is. There's nothing, we should definitely praise him for what he's done for us. But we should never forget that he's working, or that what he does for us is really the result of who he is. So he is, like I said, he's good, he's righteous and just, and he blesses those who put their faith and trust in him. So she praised him there in the deliverance, and she also praised him for his strength too. So she trusted God's sovereignty and knew that she was in his hands. Let me read verses 2 and 3 again in 1 Samuel chapter 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. There she refers to the Lord as a rock. There we see that represented in Psalm. You think about a rock, what do you think about? You think about protection, strength, and that's the way she saw the Lord. You think of that as something that's firm, that can't be moved. Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3 says, "Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." And Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." She knew that she needed to go to the Lord. There, you think about all that she's gone through there, and she never stopped serving the Lord. In the last part of the verse, we see there, it talks about, "Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." When I read that, that made me think back to Penina. And, there would have been a certain of arrogancy coming from her as she persecuted Hannah there. But, in this prayer that Hannah makes, it's not condemning her as much as it is warning her. And you think about maybe the influence that this whole situation had on Penina. Perhaps she saw God working in Hannah's life. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us clearly what happened in Penina's life there. But, Hannah's faithfulness, think about the influence that could have had on Penina. And we don't always know the influence that our testimony has on others as well. God may be using what we're going through to work in other people's lives. And that God could have used that to work in Penina's life as well. And because Hannah was faithful, at least that opportunity was there for that to happen. So the Lord is in control, and she made sure that she knew that God was her rock, that she could trust in him, and that's where her strength was coming from. So, but as we keep saying, the story doesn't end there as well. Hannah continued on to serve the Lord. So after she's experienced God's deliverance, his protection, her strength's been renewed, she kept serving the Lord. And she remained faithful in going up to the tabernacle every year from that point on, from the time Samuel was born. And we see in 1 Samuel 2:19 that she still cared about Samuel and wanted to make sure that he was progressing in the Lord. It says, 1 Samuel 2:19, it says, "Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." So she would make him a coat every year as he grew. Could you imagine, you know, the joy every year of her getting to go up there? You know, that whole year would be building up to that point in time where she could go and see her son again. But we never read anything about where there's any regret. By the fact that she's making him a coat every year is supporting the fact that he is where God wants him to be and that she's in agreement with that. She's not like going there trying to get him to come home every year. She's supporting him in where God has put him there. And we see there that Samuel ministered before the Lord year after year. We see that in verse 18 there. So, you know, she would have looked forward to her visits, but she was making sure that her son was still serving the Lord, and she was doing what she could to help out there. So, you know, think about how encouraging it must have been to Hannah to know that, you know, through those many years of discouragement, that God transformed that discouragement into a blessing and an opportunity for service to the Lord, not just for her, but for Samuel as well. You know, we know about the life of Samuel, how he grew up to serve the Lord as a prophet and a judge, and he had a huge impact on the history of Israel because of his faithfulness to the Lord. And, you know, that young lad grew up to be that servant of the Lord, and it started because of Hannah's faithfulness to the Lord. And, you know, God could have used anyone to bring Samuel into this world, but he chose someone who was willing to give everything to the Lord, and he blessed her through that whole situation. Like I said, it began with a woman who was in grief and sorrow, but she prayed and she served, and her prayer was answered. And, you know, this her testimony there should challenge us to be courageous in our prayer as well. And even when we have times of discouragement, there, if you read on, we find out that God's blessing to Hannah didn't end there either. Hannah ended up having 5 more children. We see that God continued to bless her faithfulness. And, you know, it started with her giving everything over to the Lord. She started out in discouragement, and she had the courage to get through that because she knew that the Lord was in charge. She realized that no trial in our lives is ever wasted, that those trials that we go through are things that God's allowed us to go through. But she also realized that he's there with us and helping us through those. And she had the courage to pray. When those trials are so heavy that we're going through, she didn't turn away from God. She turned to him in prayer, in prayer that God's will would be done and that she was going to accept God's will, whatever that was. And after God did answer her prayer, she had the courage to honor God and to continue to honor God throughout her life and support the blessing that God had given her. She never stopped praising the Lord for what he had done. So, you know, as we close this study, take a moment to evaluate your prayer life. Is it courageous? Are you asking God to meet needs that only he can provide? Are you living in surrender to his will, even as you pray for his intervention, even if he doesn't answer the prayers the way we would expect him to? Are we willing to accept that and live for him? And are we honoring him by giving him praise when he does answer our prayers, no matter how he answers our prayers? Like I said, even if it's not the way we would want, do we understand that his ways are better and that we're going to praise the Lord that his ways are better than our ways? And as he answers our prayers, however they may get answered, we need to just glorify him in those answers, give in to him, have the courage to follow his will through those answers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example you've given us of Hannah, someone who went through hard times, just like all of us go through at times. But Lord, never gave up on you, Lord, stayed faithful to you, reached out to you, Lord, gave everything over to you and glorified you in her life. And Lord, I pray that we would follow that same example. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.